they just won't give it up. And you have to give it up. And I think we could be helpful to people to help them see that they need to give it up. Again, it has to be discernment, but I'll speak for myself, but it's hard for me, for somebody to say to me, well, you need to talk to Jesus about that. Well, they're right. But for me, because I'm a visual person, to have this chair sitting here with Jesus sitting in it beside me was quite an experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's the spirit behind this approach to ministry. We are spirit beings, and God is a spirit, and we connect with Him spirit to spirit. So these things need to be discerned by the Holy Spirit prompting and leading us. But they're very real dynamics of how we can minister in a situation. And we can be priests for one another, if you will, the priesthood of all believers. We all have direct access to the Father, but we also have access to the Father on behalf of one another.
I thought, wow, you know, sitting under Keith and Jay, I should be pretty responsive to this question. I was kind of lost.
Yeah.
So I said, why are you asking that? And then we went from there.
Good.
You know, give me some ideas as to how to respond to that. I mean, it's pretty cool where you're taking us.
Well, I would say that information would not be given to her. It would be given to the leadership.
For them to discern how to.
Yeah. But I would say, secondly, if someone's coming up to you individually, I could say, well, before we could answer that question, we need to confer together as a community what the Lord has shown us. And so, in that way, you're not giving. You may not have a part of the puzzle until you all get together and discern what is the Lord saying to us in what we've observed. Do you want to press it out anymore?
Well, I think when we get discernment, he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I would do in a discernment situation, is ask the question back to her. And then go from there, see where that conversation leads. I mean, to tell her, well, I can't answer that until we would all get together and all have a meeting, and that would just not work for me. But just to push her out a little bit more for whoever it is.
Yeah, so somebody taught us to ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, for one visit to a church in an hour, you cannot predict or sense what is wrong with the congregation anyway.
At least not the full scope of it, but see, God might show some of you something that, in other words, God knows everything about the congregation. You don't need to know everything, you just need to know what He releases to you. That's a prophetic part of it. Then typically it'd be best to pray about that, for that to be refined and to understand it with God's heart, which would include mercy toward them before you articulate it to them. But articulating it to those who are in governing position to do something about it. What I am recalling, I've responded a couple times to situations like that, is to say, well, I'm not prepared to share anything. You can do the why are you asking that. But you could also say, I'm not prepared to share what's wrong, but I did notice this area which I would compliment you on. Since you're very welcoming congregation, for example. So you could turn it around to the positive in that way. Yeah.
Is there any chance that anyone or us would be going to that church again? Or I know I missed it, but
just sure though that she was really wanting you to say this, this, and this is wrong. She was saying out of desperation, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. That could be.
She's a charter member and she's never seen her congregation in such a decline.
Mm-hmm.
So she don't know.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, when you're there and you're praying and you're interceding, that's starting the cycle. God may or may not show you something that you can say to redirect them, but the intercessory prayer is being the priesthood of all believers. What I would say, the priesthood of all believers does not mean everyone is involved in making every decision. And that's been a deterioration of this concept. In other words, being a priest does not make you a king. Yeah. You would come to your understanding under that governance, and whomever is designated to deliver the message would be under that governance, and it's to the next governance, yeah.
I sit here tonight as a congregation we visited. I was there as a representative from the district.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was moderating that service. The questions were being asked, and then I installed the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some questions. It was just a feeling.
Yeah. It's important. We honor those feelings whenever we can. Let's see. We looked at this earlier, I jumped ahead on this, but in other words, what we say or do should strengthen, comfort, and encourage people. That's genuine prophetic, that's the fruit of prophetic ministry. So we are praying for them, we're listening for what God would say to encourage and comfort them. So let's look now at John 17 briefly and see if we can answer this question. What are the implications for the way we minister as priests and prophets as we look at Jesus' example of how he prayed in John 17? This was an intercessory prophetic prayer. Let's start with, the first part he's talking about his own relationship with the Father and fulfilling what he came to do. Let's start with verse 13. And would someone read verses 13 through 19? And we're listening here for the priestly and the prophetic flow. Go ahead.
They may have a full measure of my joy within them. For I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world,
Go to 19.
I'm sorry. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Another way of saying that is I offered myself as a holy sacrifice, that they may be made holy. So, you see, there's the root basis of praying on behalf of others because of what he has done. So let's read verses 20 through 21.
I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one.
So right there he's praying for us. What is the focus of his prayer here for us?
Oneness.
Relationship with leaders.
And also with?
God.
Yes. And so this is the concept of being toward or putting the interest of others ahead of ourselves, just as the Trinity does in fellowship. This is the mind of Christ. So as he's projecting this oneness, this union, notice more of the context of it now in verses 22 through 24. Glory and honor are synonymous thoughts here. So Jesus is wanting us to see the way the Father honors him, and he honors the Father. It isn't that Jesus is saying, hey, I want them to see how great I am. He's saying, I want them to see the way you love me. So he's prophesying, if you will, a future for us, but he's interceding on the basis of the Father's love and the Father's heart toward Christ, that we would be able to enter into that same love that the Father has for him and he has for the Father. So again, you see the cycle here. Lifting people up, seeing the Father's heart, declaring that, lifting people up, and that cycle. As priests, that's what we can continually be doing on behalf of other people. other observations you might have on this?
It's not just for those who have believed now, but all those who are going to believe in the future.
Yes.
Because of the word.
So if you could summarize what you're hearing tonight, I'm asking for this to make sure I'm getting, that I've connected with what was in my heart to cultivate. What are you hearing the Lord say tonight about how the priestly and prophetic ministry can work together in the context of your congregation? Yeah.
The prophetic, and then the interceding,
yes.
The priestly, and then the prophetic, and then the priestly. I mean, what was your question again?
What do you hear the Lord saying about that for this congregation, for you all?
We can intercede for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And?
Carrying that forward, if our vision is to minister to other churches, then we can do that same thing for other churches.
Yes. This is opening up another aspect of the topic, but it might help to illustrate it. The scriptures illustrate three kinds of heaven, or three heavens. The first heaven would be the atmosphere here around the earth that in which we live and move. The second heaven is apparently the realm where spirit beings are battling one another. And the third heaven is the place of order and government of God himself. So basically when we're praying, we're here in the first heaven praying as we understand things. We're penetrating up through the second heaven to reach the third heaven. When we see things from the third heaven point of view, because of our presence before the Father in righteousness, that gives us the power of what to declare, and our praise sets things in order in the second heaven. Our praise displaces evil powers. Our praise connects us with the throne of God. So I think we mentioned earlier that intercession sometimes can encounter spiritual warfare. So that's what's going on in that second heaven. But we're...
I was curious.
Yeah.
We have the spiritual realm here, and then the spiritual realm, and then this spiritual realm. Why are you using the word heaven?
Because the scripture uses...
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. But heaven... yeah, that's a valid question.
You made it up.
Yeah. Thank you.
My brain doesn't go to heaven.
Yeah.
I know sometimes we sing about heaven on earth and that kind of
yeah.
thing. But the way you're describing it, I think of it more of a spiritual realm.
Yeah. Well, like in the Psalms, it talks about God made the heavens and the earth. a reference to that first heaven, or the, or be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens, above the clouds. So that's the first realm. Spiritual wickedness in high places would be that second realm. And
the place where that invisible battle goes on,
yeah,
that we don't see,
yeah,
the angels.
Yeah.
The
I just never heard that necessarily referred to as heaven before.
Yeah. It's because it's in the spirit realm. Yeah. Yeah, that would be, because it's...
Now, which one? Is this the first, second, third one?
Well...
Is this the second one? Which one are we talking about? Because
well, we... Whatsoever you bind on earth shall also be bound, shall have also been being bound in heaven. So, it's referring to the third heaven, where God's throne is absolute in the present moment. Yeah.
Going for it, if we're going to be going to churches, and like when we went to the church we were at, we worshiped with them.
Mm-hmm.
But to intercede for them, does that mean some of us should be separate, right? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to be in a worship service and interceding at the same time. So, like, does that mean maybe we should have a little bit of separation? Or does that mean we should get there early to maybe do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't...
All of the above...
On-site is important.
Yeah, on-site is important. It is possible to be there praying while the service is going on. But it does require a different kind of attention. But going early and praying in advance, maybe even having a small group in another room praying, but that calls attention to that. But all of those are possibilities.
You can even meet in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Not really that busy. Do you understand?
Yeah.
30-some people meeting in the parking lot.
No,
I'm saying people that are.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems that there ought to be a place where there's more, at least for me.
Where you can concentrate more.
For me to be sitting there, just trying to get a feel for what's going on at the church. Like, I don't know if I spent a ton of time praying for the church during that. I mean, it's all new.
Yeah.
So to actually be praying for them.
So did you have a time of reflection afterwards as a congregation, what you experienced there?
No, but I don't think they went, like,
yeah,
it wasn't really, we weren't going out.
We have that in mind, it's in our mind, I don't think the church is experiencing.
And Jay and I are encouraging that, yeah, yeah. So,
we can't be in the fire hall on the first Sunday of the month, so
yeah.
Barry said, this church could use them. Why don't we just go visit with them in the morning? Because
yeah.
That's kind of where our heart is. But so, I think.
Yeah. I think in the future, you'll be intentionally going into a congregation to listen and discern and intercede. And so we can look at how to intentionally prepare for that and do that and then collect what you got.
And so. I think part of that is, initially, we were talking about an invitation. So if we get an invitation, then it would be perfectly fine to say, we're going to have a set of six people in this other room praying while the service is going on, because we've been invited there to do so.
Right, that'll make a difference, yeah. Excuse me. Let's conclude. Father, thank you for what we've been able to reflect on tonight and its application to personal ministry. its application to the calling on this congregation. And we thank you for the access we have to your throne through the righteousness of Christ. We thank you that we can come to you directly, that you love us personally, directly, individually. We thank you also for the way in which we can comfort, strengthen, and encourage one another through our intercession, through our words of prophetic insight. And we thank you for further equipping this congregation to be your intercessory representatives wherever you would call and place them. Thank you again for your prayer, Lord Jesus, that is preparing the way for us to experience the oneness you and the Father have. Amen.